In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mirror of justice, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we hear in the gospel today our Lord's gracious healing of a leper. And in the first reading, we heard of the terrible prescriptions of the law for those who have leprosy, how they are to be excluded from the community and declared unclean. And so it helps us to understand just how terrible of an affliction the leprosy is. Not only does the afflicted person suffer in his body, but even more so in his soul, to be socially outcast and to have to cry out everywhere he goes, unclean, unclean, and keep a distance from everyone. The way our Lord treats this man is also very telling. Because of the terrible prescriptions against those with leprosy, although it doesn't state it so obviously here, pointing it out, but the very fact that this leper has approached Jesus is an infraction. Some scholars say that the lepers were able even perhaps to enter in the synagogues, but remaining behind a screen, completely separated from the rest of the community. So the very fact that this leper has approached Jesus says something about his perhaps desperation in seeking to be healed, or his frustration at his situation. One of the translations says that our Lord responded with indignation, and so there's speculation. That's the problem with translations. You always have this question of, well, how do we render it in English? But the accepted interpretation is pity. But if our Lord felt some indignation, it was spiritual at the horror of what this poor man and those affected with leprosy suffer, which then reminds us of the demon. In the earlier parts of this chapter in the Gospel of St. Mark, our Lord has already had several confrontations with the demon, casting him out. And so here is another reminder of the action of the devil, or the consequences of sin. And so this poor man is suffering, and our Lord responds with pity, and then our Lord does something that's unheard of. He reaches out and touches the leper, which is something that our Lord was like us in every way but sin. So he too probably felt revulsion at the terrible appearance of a person whose flesh is rotting off his bones. But he reaches out in his compassion and touches the man and says, I do will that you be healed, be made clean. There's great significance then in this moment in which our Lord shows once again that he has come with a mission that supersedes Mosaic law, that transcends the ritualistic and cultic prescriptions that were established by the Lord through Moses. I want to point out, we refer to these prescriptions as the Mosaic law, but as we heard in the first reading, it was the Lord who said to Moses and Aaron, if someone has on his skin a scab or a pustule, etc. So these prescriptions don't originate in the mind of Moses or Aaron the priest, but rather they come from God. And they're meant to protect also the people from the contagion of leprosy. So our Lord then is showing that his mission and his way is transcendent. And really, it's salvation that our Lord has come to bring, not just physical healing. St. Augustine sees in the leprosy a symbol of sin and the effects of sin. And so our Lord's bringing salvation to this man. He's healing his body, but he's also freeing him from sin. And our Lord then sends him back to the priest. This there's an interesting deviation from expectations here. He warns this man sternly, go and show yourself to the priest. That will be proof for them. You know, he tells him, obey the law, fulfill the prescriptions, and then this phrase, that will be proof for them. And I'll explain that in a moment. But then the man goes away and completely ignores what our Lord has told him. That's also rather surprising. He goes away almost now on a mission to tell everybody how he's been healed by Jesus. And that's understandable also when you're favored with great grace. You want to share that with other people. But coming back to this phrase where our Lord says to go to the priests, offer the prescription that offer the sacrifice that Moses prescribed, and that will be a proof for them. Once again, the question of translation comes into play here, because in an earlier translation, it was this phrase, that will be a proof for them, was also translated as that will be a testimony unto them. And that word testimony, as well as proof to some degree, also has legal connotations or suggests a judgment, a testimony is a witness that someone gives, perhaps in a trial. And so our Lord's sending them back to the priests works for a couple of purposes. For one, it's necessary for the man himself to resume life among the community. This he has to do. He has to be recognized, declared clean by the priests, who will accept that sacrifice then as the man's fulfillment of his obligation, and he can be returned to the life of the community. So he has to do this in any case according to the law. But then it also serves because this testimony unto them, the priests, or perhaps against them, it could also be understood, because that testimony, once accepted, is a piece of information, a piece of proof that can be recalled and pointed to and used as an accusation. So if the priests proclaim this man healed and accept the sacrifice, but then later refuse to acknowledge Jesus who worked this healing, their acceptance is a testimony against them. You recognize that this man is clean, but you deny the instrument or the cause of his cleansing, who is Jesus. And we see that our Lord is setting up this proof also as an accusation against those who deny him. And he did that often. He accused the Pharisees of their hypocrisy. The Lord God, who in the Old Testament spoke to Israel through Moses, now is arrived with a new action through Jesus, which supersedes the Mosaic Law. And that's what we understand through today's reading. And that's what the priests are supposed to acknowledge when they see that this man has been healed. The rabbis at the time had a saying that it's easier to raise the dead than to heal a leper or cleanse a leper. And there's only two instances in the entire Old Testament where God, in the record of the Old Testament, where a leper is healed. Once Miriam, during the Exodus, Miriam and Aaron had contradicted Moses, and God was angry with them, and Miriam was afflicted with leprosy. Moses interceded, and after 7 days, she was healed. And then there's Naaman, I'm getting his name wrong, Naaman, who sought the healing through Elisha, I believe, and was told to go immerse yourself in the river. He resisted, and then finally he complied, and he was healed. Those are the only two instances. So this sign is a potent sign of Jesus' power, and it should be to them an awakening. It should cause them to realize that there is something new at work here in Jesus, who also allows deviations from the law when there's a greater good to be gained. In this case, you know, the salvation of this man. One other thing I'd like to just mention, a thought that occurred to me, again, with leprosy being a symbol of sin, in the first reading, these prescriptions that are aimed at protecting the community by isolating the leper seem to have some spiritual connotations with regard to sin as well. There are two kinds of sin, we could say. We can make a distinction between sins that are public and sins that are private. Private sins, we know our private sins, God knows them, but it's not known to the general public. But there are some sins that are public sins, and the church has a law and has prescriptions for how to deal with public sinners, and it's called excommunication. When somebody sins gravely, publicly, and does not repent, and after being called back to the church, repent of your sin, encouraged to correct himself, if that sinner obstinately continues in their sin and refuses to repent, the church then has the option, and I would say the obligation in some cases, to exclude that person from the community as a medicinal measure, to help that person realize the gravity of their offense and encourage them to repent. And what's at stake is their salvation. That's the whole point. The excommunication is not man judging another man saying, you can't be saved. No, it's saying you won't be saved if you don't repent, if you don't comply with the will of God, with the law of God. And so in our day and age, it seems that the lepers are welcomed to come into the community even though they haven't been cleansed or healed. And the danger is that the rest of the community can become infected. And I say this as an analogy for public sin, for heresy, for instance. When we have, unfortunately, even very recently, cases of people who publicly proclaim themselves to be Catholic I'm speaking of politicians who then go and disregard the law of God and the law of the church and vote for laws that are contradictory to the will of God. For instance, abortion. The church, it seems to me, could do much good by exercising that duty to exclude the public sinner, to make it known that this person who is a member of the church is rejecting the teaching of the church publicly, going against the church and the law of God, and is excluded until they repent, so that the rest of the community understands and is protected against that error. Our Lord would refuse no one forgiveness who is truly repentant. And that's, again, the message in today's gospel. This man who is humble and comes begging for God's mercy receives it instantly. And the Lord is willing and to do that for each and every one of us. But we have to repent. We have to be sorry. And if we sin publicly, we also have to repent publicly. Let us pray then for the church, which is always surrounded by sin and is peopled by sinners, but sinners who seek conversion, repentance and conversion, and seek then, with the help of God's grace given to us through the church, through the sacraments, to be converted, to change our life, and to become holy. Let us pray that God's transcendent mercy and goodness that is evident in Jesus in the gospel continue to work in the world today through the church, and may the church be faithful to the true doctrine and also to the obligation to practice discipline when needed and mercy whenever possible. Praise be Jesus and Mary.